passage in chapter 17, I just want to give us a few points before then we think about communion and we take the elements. So what is it saying? I found, or as I went through it, there is four things that kind of came out to me. So here in verse 12 and 13, what does it tell us there? First of all, man's disobedience hinders victory. Your disobedience to God. Because what were they instructed to do? Partially conquer the land? Hey, let's go and conquer half of it. Come on, give me a V. Give me an I. Give me a C. Give me a T. What's it? But that's what some of you have done. What you have done is you have half conquered in your life. And I'm talking to teenagers here because you half obey all the time. You have partial obedience all the time. And what you don't understand is you could be, as I play basketball. I played basketball growing up. I played basketball in college. And yet, at my height, there was never an option of going to the rack and just, you know, shaking it. I was not going to do that. The only time was when we were able to lower the rack a little bit and you just act like it. And we're like, ah! All right, and I'm going to the rim and I'm gonna rock the rim. Rah! And stand over. I mean, that's what I'm telling you. That's what some of you, you're missing that, because what you could be doing is that guy could be right in front of you. You're jamming it down his throat and you're yelling over top of him. But here you are. Ah, I surrender. You're the one lone soldier. The one lone soldier that could have victory if you just hang on and you would trust God a little bit, but your disobedience hinders your victory. Man's disobedience hinders victory. But what else do we see here? Look at verse 14. And the children of Joseph, and I believe this is Ephraim now, spake unto Joshua, and it could have been both Manasseh and Ephraim, saying, and excuse me, but it kind of came this way to me as I was reading it. Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit? Seeing I am a great, it almost doesn't fit. Seeing I am a great people. Whiny Christians. So man's disobedience hinders victory. Secondly, man's discontentment hinders victory. Some of you look at everybody else, you say, well, they got away with it, and they got this, and they do that. And God says, forget about all of them. There's some of you, you're so worried about your brother, you're like Cain. Way back at Cain and Abel, what did Cain do? How come you accepted Abel's offering? Why don't you just get the right offering? And some of you, you're worried about some other fellow church member that God seems to be blessing, and he's not blessing me. Man, God, how come I only get one cookie? Because you're a bad bus kid. That's why. And you want, you're a bad churchman. And it could be that that's all you need. All you need is right there for you. I mean, one's not good enough. But yet, man's discontentment hinders victory. We think about how much more our brother has than we have. And that's some of you. Some of you in your materialistic mindset, that's what, you're always worried about somebody else and what somebody else has. And what this is what my challenge to you is. Open up your wallet, open up your envelopes, and live within your means. And stop saying, if I had $1,000 more, if I had $2,000 more, you know what? You'll never have enough. I read of one guy as I was studying about this. There was a man in a church that made $200,000 a year, and he said, I can't tithe. And yet he had widows that made $5,000 and could tithe. You know what it is? You're just covetous. You'll never have enough. It's always what somebody else has. Instead of being grateful for what God has given you. You're saying salvation isn't enough? Yeah. Yeah, I am getting spiritual on you. Because it's not enough that God gave you eternity. It's not enough. I gotta have it all right now. All right, rich man. Why don't you tear down your barns and build larger? And you always have a spiritual reason, don't you? You always can couch it. You always are able to take a verse and pull it out of context to justify your selfishness, to justify your covetousness. And what it is, your discontent. Because Paul said, I have found whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Man's disobedience hinders victory. Man's discontentment hinders victory. But then, look at verse 15. I think this is great. Joshua, I love Joshua as a character study. I love Joshua. I love the book of Joshua. But Joshua, God gave him special wisdom, I think, to deal with crabby people. Because what did they say? We are, what in verse 14? What are they? A great people. God gave him wisdom. Because guess what? And Joshua answered them. He used satire. Those of you that get irritated at my sarcasm, I guess you shouldn't hang around with Joshua. Because guess what? If thou be a great people. Hey, you know what? You're the one that said you're great. What did he tell them to do? Then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. What did he tell them to do? You're the one that said it. You're great. Your pipes are so strong and so mighty, there's nothing that you cannot do. So guess what, great people? Get a job and work. That's what he says. Hey, get up to the wood country and cut down the trees. You know what? If this is right here and it's not enough, right up there is a mountain. Get up there and conquer it. Because you said you're great. And what I see through this is God's people, and this is one thing they did not understand. When you have God, God's people are great people. God's people are great people. You can accomplish a lot. You know what's sad to me is in verses 12 and 13, that partial obedience, guess what they, and this is going back, I'm sorry that I'm thinking back to those first two points and that discontentment and the partial obedience, but did you notice in verse 12 and 13 what they sacrificed? They said that not conquering these people and getting the money was more important. Isn't that what it says in the text? It says that, you know what? We can't conquer them, but we can put them under tribute. And you better be careful of sacrificing complete obedience and accepting partial obedience because you say, I'm going to get some benefit out of this. And some of you have done that with your flesh. And you, God has been telling you to examine yourself and to watch out and to put your flesh under. And what you've done is you say, I'll do it a little bit, but guess what? I think I can get some benefit out of this. You better watch out. It'll come back and bite you. Because those people that they didn't kick out, oh, they came back and they hurt them. Partial obedience. See, God's people are great people. And it's not because of anything in us. It's because God is with us. If they would understand, hey, if God can make the walls of Jericho fall down with us just marching around them, He can take care of anybody. And if our Savior can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and He can provide anything, He can feed the 5,000, He can feed us and He can supply our needs, God says that He will supply our needs. God's people are great people because of our Savior. But you also see verses 16 through 18. And the children of Joseph said, "The hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are Bethshean and her towns, and they who have the valley of Jezreel." And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, "Thou art a great people, and you have great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. For it is wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong." What's the Bible telling us here? The Bible is instructing us that God's provision is enough for His people. God has given what you need. And so why are you settling? Why are you settling for just a little bit of the country that God has given you? Why are you settling in your Christian walk? Why examine yourself and say, what does God have for me as far as victory? What does God have for me as far as my life? And why do you only take half of it? Because what you have tasted of what God has given you, it is precious. What God has given you and you've tasted of it, you say, "Man, this is so good." Then get it all. Why not take it all? Why not go into the mountain? Go in. You want more? Go into the mountains. Work hard. Because God will go with you. Because why? Because what did Joshua say? You're great people. And we have great power. And you know what, as Christians, we can be great people and we can have great power and we can have a great church. And you say, "Well, how is that possible?" Because we have a great God. It's not because of you and I. It's not because you and I are so great and so mighty. No, it's because our Savior and Joshua specifically, it goes back to Joshua 2 and Joshua 3 when there is Joshua, or I think it's maybe even Joshua 4 and 5 where Joshua is getting ready to go and take Jericho, and what he sees off in the side, and there is the captain of the host of the Lord, and there he finds the strength he needs. And that's what you and I can do. We can conquer. But God says, examine yourself. Examine yourself. And tonight as we come to this communion table, what should you be doing? Examining yourself, because God, we've studied this, we've talked about it. The Promised Land is a picture of the victorious Christian life. And in the victorious Christian life, there is conquest. In the victorious Christian life, there are some battles. And there are some slip-ups. We're going to make mistakes. Joshua did. Next Sunday morning, we're going to look at the idea of the Gibeonites. And man, Joshua messed up a little bit with the Gibeonites. But you know what? Joshua didn't quit. And some of you, as soon as the devil gets you to slip up, you're a little sissy as a Christian. And you're there like the Ephraimites, and you're there like the tribe of Manasseh, and like, "We were a great people. We didn't give us enough cookies." Instead of saying, "Man, I messed up a little bit. God, I'm sorry about this. But you put the sword back in my hand, and I will fight for your cause again." That's what God wants. He wants us to conquer in Canaan. He wants us to have full possession of the land. And so examine yourself. Joshua's response, I think, was interesting because he used satire. He used steadfastness. Did you notice a couple of times in this passage they say, "Hey, we didn't get enough. We didn't get enough. We didn't get enough." Joshua wasn't your average politician. He didn't care what people were saying. He said, get a backbone and go fight if you want more. But you also see, and just in studying this, Joshua also removed his own self-interest out of this. Did you know Joshua was from either Manasseh or Ephraim? He was from that tribe. So that's his family. And they're coming saying, oh, come on, Joshua, just give us a little more. You know, most of you, cave, you know, marshmallow. Okay. Some of you, you got no guts. You melt every time. I mean, you can't stand up to your chihuahua. Or he's like, boo, 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 okay. I mean, your cat has more strength. Little meow meow man. I mean, it's unbelievable. No, Joshua, he put his own self-interest aside. He said, no. This is what God said to do, so let's do it. What's interesting, I didn't need this to understand, but I thought it was interesting. There's a psychologist, Robert Epstein. He had a group of students, and they were doing a study, and they analyzed 2,000 years worth of historical kind of self-improvement methods. And this is what they found. As they studied the 2,000 years and they went back in history and they made case studies, they said three things popped out. How that you can change and modify. Help yourself. The one was, modify your surroundings. You want to be effective? Modify your surroundings. The second thing, monitor yourself. Oh, look at that. And then be accountable. Wow. I think I found that in the Word of God somewhere. Well, yeah. Well, what's modify your surroundings? Come out from among them and be ye separate. You know why some of you don't win the victory? Because you don't get away from the world. I challenge some of you. Get off the internet for 1 week. 1 week. And watch how the dirty thoughts leave. I can't do it. All right. I'm pretty sure I see your name here next to Ephraim and Manasseh. No. Modify your surroundings. Monitor yourself. That's examining. That's 1 Corinthians 11. Examine ourselves over and over in the Bible. The Bible tells us to examine, to look at ourselves, to study, to work at things, and be accountable. Some of you, and this is mostly men, you're such a man. You know what? I'm not accountable to anybody. Oh, really? And that's why you're a loser. It really is. I do not find in the Bible the self-made man, that phrase, ever. You know what I do find? I do find that you humble yourself under the Lord. That's what I do find. I do find that you submit yourselves one to another. All right, so you, Mr. Man, throw me your verse. Oh, you don't got one. Because you're going to your own psychotherapy sessions. And your little psychotherapist has handed you a bunch of baloney. It says, you know what, if you're a man has just got to stand up on his own. And I don't find that in the Bible. Some of you, you went to the school of John Wayne. And I don't know if you know this, but he was a drunk and a womanizer. So go for it. Go for it there. Because you know where I'm going to get my instruction? From the Word of God. Some of you go to Hollywood to get your instructions. instead of examining yourself and lining it up to the Word of God. You wouldn't fit. You wouldn't be a friend of Christ here on this earth. Why? Because according to Philippians and according to Hebrews, he became obedient to God, even to the death of the cross. Ooh, I guess according to your John Wayne therapy, Christ wasn't a man because he submitted. Ooh, yeah, remember this. The Bible normally in philosophy is opposite of the world. So when the world tells you what a man is, just chalk it up. It's probably exactly opposite. And you'll fail using the world's philosophy.